Hello, you are listening to Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. I am Catherine Dunn, I face girl of Art Star Scene Radio here on Radio Free Brooklyn, where I will be psychoanalyzed by Dr. Lisa. Are you there yet?
Hi.
Oh, it worked.
Yes.
Perfect.
Catherine, I am so excited that we're doing this. It's really, really funny because I'm actually at an art fair right now. And people will be wondering in why I'm talking to you. I have a therapist office set up on the 22nd floor of number 4 Times Square, the old Vanity Fair offices, and I'm looking out the window at a beautiful view. So I may be interrupted by people coming in during our session. It's almost like you're live.
For their own sessions?
No, but it's... I'm in the middle, this is actually currently a performance at an art fair. Do you hear stuff in the background?
Yes.
So what I've been doing here all week, and will be doing here at Spring Break Art Fair through Monday, is I have a therapist office set up here, and people are coming in, just visitors to the fair, and they are lying down on this couch. I have the photo of it on my Facebook page. You can see what the setup looks like.
I did see. There's a lot of windows.
And
it looks
I'm
pretty.
I'm just doing therapy and people walking in and out, but I wanted to have a chance to do it with you on the radio today. So, so let's focus. I feel like So I've been on your show. Did we get to talk fully about Art Star Scene Radio, which is a really popular show here and really wonderful? Did we?
I mean, I said that I'm on it. Faceboy is actually listening right now, hoping that I messed some tech up. So we're a very strong team.
Oh, he is. Hi, Face. Shout out to Faceboy. So here's the thing. So our listeners know, like, so I've been on your show. We have seen each other socially, right? But mm-hmm. We haven't really, like, hung out, like, and had any real kind of real conversation, right?
Yeah, you definitely don't have any insider secret information. Anything that you come up with will be the magic of you.
Why we're doing this? In the reception area, people, visitors to the art fair, are listening to it on a loudspeaker. So... this is being broadcast, so I hope you're okay with that.
Yeah. No, I never want to be heard.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just, you know, because I know how litigious you and Art Star Scene Radio is.
Yeah.
Or maybe you guys have probably been the subject of a few lawsuits yourself, or should be if you
should
haven't.
Should be. We have not
yet.
Should
be, but the problem is your audience is way too poor to hire any lawyer, right?
I think the people with all the money are just not listening. I don't know. Peter Popoff, shout out to you scoundrel.
So I'm going to, normally I would do more research but I'm just going to treat you the way I've been treating everybody here that comes in cold that I have no idea about. So I'm going to just ask you the very, very basic questions. The one thing I did notice about you, though, is that you studied psychology in college, right? Am I right about that?
Correct, yes.
So what's your background as far as psychology goes?
Like, why did I get into it?
Or were you interested in being a shrink? Or do you know a lot of, what do they call it, how the donuts are made? Or how much do you know? You probably have more, what's ironic is you probably have more formal training than I do.
Potentially.
You should be doing it.
Potentially. Maybe I'll just set up a similar art installation.
Yeah, we'll just get a couch and come over here. Exactly.
We can do it. We can double team
patients. There's no money in it, of course. But.
Well, that's
so
what I hear about healthcare.
As far as psychology goes.
So basically I've always been a creative, and then one day I was giving advice on the beach in Mykonos to my mother's friends as a teen. And, it was pretty good. I was really good at analyzing dreams. So then my mother cautioned me that when she was younger, her father said that she should go into law and that she never did it. And that was a huge failure. And then she said that you know, in the same breath that I needed to go into psychology because it would be a huge failure to, like, squander that gift. So I did.
You're very intuitive, obviously.
Maybe. Apparently. I mean, some people say that I'm psychic. I don't know. I think people are pretty obvious.
Yeah. Which, you know, those things are all, there's a fine line between all of that stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if it's intuitive or I can just figure people out or people are, like, more similar than they realize or want to believe. But yeah, so I'm able to, like, kind of figure people out. And I went to school, I got a degree in it, and then it was time for the GRE, and I wanted to go to specifically John Jay, straight to PhD in forensic psychology, do not pass go, do not get a master's.
Wow, that's so cool. And so what happened?
I started working in film, just as an extra, or background actor, or artist, and I told myself if I was eligible or if I made eligibility for the union, I would stick with this thing that I've always wanted to do since before I was even potty trained, which is why I wasn't a child actor, because they brought me in too young, apparently, and they wanted me not in diapers. I don't know. It was a whole thing.
You were a child actor?
No, I was not a child actor. The reason I was not a child actor.
What were you saying? I'm sorry.
No, my family wanted me to be a child actor. So they brought me in, but because I wasn't potty trained yet, I don't really.
Oh, now I'm
sort of, it's their version of it. I'm not really sure, but something having to do with being potty trained, which I don't get at all.
Yeah,
but
you can't have a good career if you're not potty trained. It's
really, R. Kelly?
it's definitely going to hold you back.
I think a lot of people that aren't potty trained that are famous, but that's a kink. Yeah, so I started doing background, and then I made eligibility for the union, and I stuck with it. And I should have gotten a PhD in forensic psychology.
So you wish you had. That would be so exciting. What is that, like solving crimes? You would be great on this. You know what we need you for? We need you with going on with, Trump and Sessions and all those people now. You could be figuring this out.
I don't. It's such
a mess. Anyway.
But maybe.
I have. So you. Okay, so let's just do this the way that I'm doing it here. So, where are you from? Oh, wait.
Did someone just walk in? Or did I lose you? I guess I'll just talk about forensic psychology. Are you there? So forensic psychology isn't really solving crime so much as like helping with like jury selection and how to maybe dress a lawyer or client to get sympathy from the jury.
Hello?
Oh, there you are.
Catherine. Hey, we had a technical glitch there because the phone I'm on got a phone call.
Okay.
We didn't prepare for this.
I just like Nick Carter or Lance Bass. I forget which one, but there was some prank years ago with a microphone. But I was
But you know what? We were just talking about potty training, and so maybe that had something to do with it. Do you know my cat drinks out of the toilet? I have a new cat.
Your cat does?
Drinking out of the toilet, yeah. Okay,
cats are weird.
So where are you from?
I grew up in Great Neck. I spent my weekends in the Bronx and my summers in Greece, Mykonos and Athens.
Wow. So you got to go to Mykonos a lot?
Every summer, yeah.
I've been there once in my 20s. It's incredible.
20s is a good time to go.
Wow. So you can't possibly have any problems if you grew up that way.
Any problems?
So how was that like? Was your family, is your family part Greek?
My mother's side.
How was it that you went to Greece?
My mother is Greek, and she's always been in love with the island. She actually still, like, she moved back to Greece, lives in Greece. And her job is to tour. So she takes tourists to pretty places and tells them about it. So her job is to travel. Like she's
that's really
living
wonderful.
Her best life. Yeah.
Wow. So you've had a lot of, that's great. So you've had a lot of travel, I'm guessing, right?
Not as much as you'd think. Mostly mm-hmm. just to Greece. In fact, one time my entire family, we were supposed to go, I forget where. I want to say it was like Greece, Turkey, and Egypt. I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to Mykonos and we canceled the rest of the trip. yeah, so like I have traveled, but mostly to Mykonos. When I was fake engaged for a minute, I went to Vienna.
What did your parents do?
My mother has always had like different jobs, like temp gigs growing up. She owned a business when I was a baby. And it was like a family business. It was like a balloon mm-hmm. store and
what
party
kind of
store. It balloons, parties, stickers, like fun things. It was just like a fun thing business. Mm-hmm.
Do you know, Took's mother did, she does face painting, but she's involved with parties. Did you know that?
Took's mother?
Another host. It's a pattern in the hosts, in Radio Free Brooklyn hosts. Mothers.
That's so funny.
But anyway.
Because I know Took does painting, like face painting. I didn't realize she got it from her mom.
Well, talk to her about her mother sometime.
I bet,
they're in the same business, this is what I'm saying. Okay, so what did your father do?
Hairdresser. Like,
really?
Yeah, didn't bounce around, just was a hairdresser.
And how did he work? Did he work in a salon? Did he own a salon?
Different things. Like, in years and years ago, like before I was even born, he had his own salon. Then he would work for other people's salons. Then he moved to Florida and he bounced between having like working in a salon, working in like a hair cuttery type thing, or having his own salon,
mm-hmm.
or even like just renting space in an existing salon. So,
wow, that's great. You had like an in-house hair. What was that like growing up? Did you get your hair cut a lot? Did you have an outside? Was there a lot of focus on hair, or
yes.
did it affect you?
Yeah, definitely. Hair is definitely.
Like in what way?
In a few different ways. Like hair's always been like a thing, not such a huge thing, but at different times it's been a gigantic thing. Like when I was 13, I would dye my hair a different color every single week, in some sort of way of trying to find myself.
You?
No, actually, he didn't have anything to do with that. That was just like my mom was buying me this product that was safe enough to do that with, and she's like,
mm-hmm.
whatever, at least she's not doing drugs,
mm-hmm.
sure, dye your hair.
I'm getting a feeling that maybe your parents got divorced?
Yeah, when I was like three, they separated.
Three. Oh, so your parents, you didn't grow up with two parents?
I did, but not a mom and a dad. I grew up with like a mother and a grandmother. And then my grandmother had like a friend that felt like a grandfather, and my mom had a friend
mm-hmm.
who felt like an uncle.
Okay, before we digress, I just want to, because that's interesting. There's so many facets to this. So I want to hear the rest, though.
About hair?
What it was like having a hairdresser father.
So, yeah, I've got, like, a picture of my first haircut, and I always, like, he was very good. He once told me this joke about how he and my uncle had a fight, and my uncle went to somebody else, and then, like, because he had gone to someone else, like, all of a sudden his bald spot was showing because, you know, my dad didn't cut his
mm-hmm.
hair.
mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've had like a weird sort of monogamy with my hairdressers. Like I have a lot of stress finding one that I like. And if I do, I don't want to go to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had a hairdresser.
Do you feel emotional attachment to your hairdresser in a certain way?
Not emotional, but trust.
Are
like,
you
I
just really fussy? Do you know a lot about hair cutting, so you're fussy about it?
No, I'm not really fussy. Like I don't care.
So
I just that's why I want someone I can trust. I want to just sit down and be like,
what
do it.
Trust mean to you as far as your hairdresser goes?
Like that, whatever they're gonna do is gonna compliment my face and look right on me, even if it's like something. Cause I don't care if they cut it all off. Like I find the sexiest haircut, the like Miley Cyrus wrecking ball or the Justin Bieber. Like that haircut is sexy
mm-hmm.
across the board on all people. My hairdresser refuses
mm-hmm.
to give me that haircut, and I like
mm-hmm.
a hairdresser that refuses to do what I want. Like that's how I fell in love with one of my first hairdressers who wasn't my dad. Her name is Nana. I met her in Mykonos. Yeah. She's like this beautiful German woman who was born blonde, dyed her hair black, has stunning blue eyes. She's just like super cool. Like everything about her was like perfectly my type of woman. And I told her what I
would. Like, can you really tell? Like, do you know a lot about hair? Can you like tell if it's a good haircut or not?
Yeah.
Or?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I've cut hair.
Yeah, you have a pretty good eye for it, or you have a sensitivity, you're aware of it.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I definitely.
Good. You know what? I can't decide what to do with my bangs. I can't wait to talk to you about
this. Okay.
In person.
Awesome. Yeah, like I've always secretly wanted to cut people's hair. And I've had people who let me in different times, and I get so excited. Like, I have my dad's scissors to do that with.
Uh-huh. Did you ever really want to go into it, or?
I've wanted to go into many things, and makeup being one of them, like hair not being something that I'd rule out. But I never, he never wanted me to go into it. Like, even when I told him as a child that I wanted it, he was like, no, absolutely don't do that.
Wow. And
my mother on the other side thought it was a good idea.
It's not a real stable life.
My mom would argue that it is because all you need for your trade is scissors and like some tools and you can bring that anywhere. But my father argued that he just said no. But I think parents usually either really want you to take over the family thing or they're like, don't do what I did. Find anything else.
Well,
I'm miserable.
I also think that, like, I mean, that's a very, like, he didn't leave it up to you. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you really, he could have discouraged you, but, well, I mean, you know, he could have let you do, you know, he could have maybe encouraged you to do what you wanted to do. Like, if you were talented that way and that's what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
That sounds a little controlling.
Not really, because, like, he wasn't that serious. Like, I didn't see him enough for him to be that controlling.
Right.
Like, it was just, I don't think he said it seriously.
Yeah, I'm sure he was just being protective, really. Right?
Yeah. For him, yeah, it definitely wasn't, like, a, I mean, he could have been controlling, but I didn't see him that often. My mom definitely discouraged everything, and my grandmother definitely discouraged me from doing anything and everything I ever wanted to do.
Okay.
So, like, maybe he's not as bad as them, and that's why I'm not seeing it. Because they were really, they really... everything. Double bind. Do you know what a double bind is?
Yeah.
So that's
Wait,
classic them. Double bind. It's damned if you do, damned if you don't. Learned helplessness. Like the, I think it's a histrionic mother. I forget if it's histrionic. But, you know, the mother who says, like, do this, and then you do it, but you've done it wrong, so now you're getting yelled at. Or you don't do it, and then you get yelled at for not doing it. So whether you do it or not, you're going to get, so damned if you do, damned if you don't, and that leads to learned helplessness, and it leads people to just not, learned helplessness, not being able to do anything, like inertia.
Right. Big roadblock.
Huge.
So, okay, and so you grew up with your mother and your grandmother, and so where did you go to college?
I went to Nassau Community to prove to my mother that I even wanted to go to college because she didn't think I wanted to go. And then after I scored, like, I think a 4.0 or 3.9 there, I then went to another, like, CUNY or SUNY. It was CUNY. It was Queens College because I think my grandfather, before he passed away, said that he wanted me to go to college no matter what. But I think my mom found, like, a loophole and went with, like, the least expensive way of fulfilling that wish. Which is not unreasonable. Well, like, debt is ridiculous. Like, I could still be in debt depending on where I could have gone.
Oh, no, it's really, really good. And then you studied psychology. Is that what I was hearing?
Yeah. For the first school, I went with media studies and photography. And then when I transferred, I went into psychology. But I was taking, I think I don't know, maybe I was also a psychology major. I don't know. But, yeah, I definitely was a psych major when I moved over to Queens College.
And do you have brothers or sisters?
None. I have fake ones, but no real ones.
Like Faceboy.
Well, yeah. But he's like my partner.
When describe for me what you were saying before about growing up. I want to hear about that now. Like, when you were growing up, who were... It wasn't just you and your mother. It was you and your grandmother, right?
Yeah, in the house, like, when I was young, it was my mother and her boyfriend and my grandmother and her best friend that I thought was her boyfriend but I didn't realize was gay because I come from a family of fag hags. Like, my mother's currently married to her gay best friend.
Really? That's so interesting.
Yeah.
And, like, it's not, they're just completely open about it that he's gay and they're married.
Well, yeah, I mean, I shouldn't go into it too much just because of certain reasons for paperwork,
like,
but
whole,
but yeah, but yeah, everybody knows the deal.
Like, right.
Other than whoever they have
your mom doesn't try to hide it or anything.
No, there's no reason. Like, everybody knows them. Like, my mother's first gay
really
husband.
Really open-minded.
She's
sure.
Very cool. My parents, like, smoked pot in front of me because it was my dad's idea to not lie to the kid. Like, why? What's the point?
Oh, really? Your dad smoked pot?
Like, they both did.
So, what about your dad? So you were with your mother and your grandmother, and your grandmother, what kind of role? So you lived in a house. Tell me who lived in the house.
Like lived. It was, I had a room. My great grandmother had my bedroom with me until I was five. And then my grandmother had her room that Ralph, her gay best friend, stayed in. And then my mom had her bedroom that like her friends would be in all the time.
So you grew up in a very social environment.
Kind of, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. It's weird because... go on.
And four generations of women, right?
Three in that. Yeah, four originally, but three ultimately, yeah.
But one of them... when
I was five.
Having a great-grandmother around it all is pretty amazing.
It definitely was. She was wonderful. I wish I got to know her better and appreciate her throughout my entire life.
How old were you when she passed?
Unfortunately, like a dumb five.
Yeah, well, enough that you appreciate, you know.
That I got to know her.
She's living in your memory, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So what was that like? What was that household like? Did it feel, it sounds very unconventional. Did you know it was unconventional? Did it feel unconventional? Did it feel safe? How did it feel? I can't imagine what a household, growing up in a household like that would be like.
I'm not sure. I don't think I ever, like, noticed or cared. Like,
that you felt, like, secure at home and you got enough attention, or did you have one primary caregiver? Were you confused? What did you feel like? What did it feel like as a kid?
Here's a little side story. My friend had an abusive father, and one day I told my mom that she was lucky because she had a dad. And my mom was like, oh, you need therapy. So I was, like, I guess 7 or 10, 9, young, and she put me in therapy. And my therapist fell asleep, so I accidentally wound up faking schizophrenia to get out of my house.
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I reenacted a scene from a movie. I didn't realize that hearing voices was, like, a big deal. I had my therapist's attention, so no, I guess I didn't get enough attention, but maybe I needed too much.
You said schizophrenia to your therapist?
Oh no, I didn't know the word schizophrenia. I was just reenacting a scene from
a
movie.
You didn't know exactly what you were doing, but you had amazing instincts. So you pretended, let's just say, in your child way, you faked schizophrenia. To the therapist or to your mom or?
Well, it started with my therapist, and then she said if I was telling the truth, I would be put in a hospital. And I was like, well, what about school? And she's like, well, you'd be taken out of school to be put in the hospital. I'm like, oh, well, what about my house? Well, you'd be taken out of your house. You'd be sleeping and staying in this hospital. I'm like, yeah, it's real. Do you want me to draw them?
Are you talking to me?
No, to her. I was like, yeah, it's real. You want me to draw pictures? I'll draw you pictures of what they look like. So now, not only am I hearing voices, I'm seeing things. And I didn't know the quota to, like, get in. So in the movie, there were two voices. Their names were Suicide and Murder. So I was like, God, if this is true, then what else? Oh, I know. Mayhem and I think, like, Mischief or something. I forget.
Yeah, right.
Rage. It doesn't matter. Like, I tried to stay within theme. And I drew four characters. And then I had to convince experts that I was telling the truth, that I was legit schizophrenic, that these voices were real. And I convinced enough people that they put me in a hospital. But they didn't let me stay because I didn't realize it's not like Harvard. You don't, like, get to coast once you get in. You had to keep it up.
You didn't keep up the act?
No, I excelled. Like, I did really well. Like, I loved it there. It was great. Like, I was put in the advanced class, and, like, I got to, like, you know, take this skeleton apart and then, like, learn all the bones. Like, I learned more interesting stuff there than in, like, school. I was also really bored always with school.
Right. How long were you in the hospital?
Not long. I think you're supposed to be there, like, 3 months, and I was not even there. Like, maybe I was there. I don't know, because kid time and real time is different.
Yeah, but, I mean, you were there more than a week.
I definitely think I was there more than a week. Like,
that's,
I definitely remember there being more than one weekend.
And did you have any sense of that you were pretending or what was really going on?
No, I absolutely knew that I did not hear voices. Like, I didn't believe this lie. I actually now don't lie. Like, as a human being, because I was so good at it, I refuse now to lie. I'm like, well, it's kind of dangerous. You shouldn't do that. Because, like, I didn't understand money, but I know that putting me in that hospital cost my family a lot of it to do that.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. And very upset. I mean, how did your mother react?
Well, she's used it as, like, a card against me, like a playing card. Like, well, you're crazy. You're the one that was actually put away. And it's like, well, I was put away to get away from you. So I was under the age of 10, and I faked a mental illness to get away from you.
Yeah, so, you know, it's interesting. I wanted to ask you about that because when we were talking earlier about, like, what it was like in the household, you know, we couldn't really figure it out. But now it's interesting. So you must have had a pretty charged relationship with your mother, I'm guessing.
Well, it's a Greek household, which, according to my Greek mother and grandmother, means that we don't talk. We just scream everything.
Oh, so it's, so you mean all that screaming, just that, like, let's say anger or aggressive expression felt normal? Is that what you're saying?
I think so. And it didn't feel normal to me. I was like, this is not normal, and I don't like it. Please stop. Like, don't do this. But they just kept doing it. So there was that.
So it was a lot of, so it was just like a lot going on in your home, and you wanted a vacation is really what it was, I think.
Absolutely. And it was a great vacation. I like ran that shit. I had two boyfriends. Like, it was wonderful.
In the hospital?
Yeah, but like, we're kids, so what does that mean? What?
So you are really, I mean, you have really great instincts, right? This is what we're saying.
If I had great instincts, I'd be successful.
So let's get to that. What do you do for a living? You're really an actress and a comedian, right? Is that?
That's the idea. I mean, I'd like to be.
And you're a SAG actress, right? You're in the union and everything. I mean, you're a professional, right?
I mean, on paper, yes. In theory, I guess. I don't feel like one. But yeah, I am in the union as of 2005. I've been a SAG member, and then I joined AFTRA, and then apparently I never needed to because now they're the same.
No small thing. What kind of things have you been in mostly?
The background of many things, but nothing really. Like, I've been in independent, super low budget, like maybe my friends put it together stuff, but. You can see me in things that are like big Hollywood movies or even TV shows, but I'm not in them. I'm just, you know, in the background of them. But I did get upgraded in Revolutionary Road, which is quite funny. The reason I got upgraded had something to do with my instincts and not listening to my stupid boyfriend at the time. In a nutshell, we're in the dressing room and one girl is complaining because it's the 40s or whatever and everybody's wearing skirts. Yeah. She's like, I'm wearing pants. And I'm like, don't worry, you could be my girlfriend, which is just my humor. But at the time, my boyfriend's like, could you cut it with that shit? And I'm like, no, I can't. It's who I am. So because of this joke, later on set, we didn't talk. Like, it wasn't like I was hitting on her, creeping her out. I know it was a dressing room, but it wasn't like call HR. So we're on set, the director, the assistant director puts us together, and I'm like, it's called Revolutionary Road, and there's a black guy here. They're going for something different here. And I'm like, do you want me to play, because it's the 30s, like, you know, it obviously stood out to me that there's something going on and it's revolutionary. So I was like, do you want us to play lesbians? And they're like, I like what you're doing. I like where you're going. And I'm like, all right, cool. And this is just me being me. And that got us an upgrade to dancer.
That's so funny. That's hilarious.
It was.
And that's a good jump in money too, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, if and here's the problem with genies and like whatever you pray to, be specific because they are fickle bitches. I prayed that she would get an Oscar that year and she did. For The Reader.
Yeah.
For The Reader. So I didn't get my 10 grand check. I get my $10 check. Like, it is not impressive. My residual checks are jokes, but at least I get them.
Yeah,
My first one was for like a couple hundred.
What kind of stuff would you like? Do you do any acting on your own, or are you involved in any plays? Or I mean, in the radio show, certainly performance. Is there other things that you're doing as well? Or
I feel like right now the only thing I'm doing is the radio show, and I love it. And thank God for it.
Yeah,
but
it's
a lot.
I mean, that's no small thing. It's a weekly show.
It is, and I love it. I love that it's weekly. Uh-huh. But I feel like I'm not I'm not doing enough shows. Like, I want to get out there with a live audience. Like, I like that feedback. I finally went to, like, an open mic last night.
Right.
Just to get a taste of, like, being on a stage in front of a living, breathing thing.
Mm-hmm. Do you do, is everything you do scripted? Like, would you... you need to have a script or
no.
Would you have to write a script or
no? I'm actually the opposite of a script person. I'm mostly an improviser. I've been doing improv since I want to say, well, before 2007, but at least since 2007, in New York, like officially.
Well, it seems like you would be able to arrange that. Let me look at the time. What time is it?
Right now it is 2:30.
We need to do a station ID, don't we?
Probably. I mean, we have to do them all the time, don't we? Or like three?
Yeah. No. Well, it's a half an hour. I'd like to let's do it. Do you want to do it?
You were listening.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk it through. So,
yeah.
This is. Do you love the station that we work with? Really?
I do, and it's so exciting because I was doing Radical Vaudeville when it was born, like when it was just like this thing that Rob was like, oh, I'm just gonna do this thing.
I know.
Yeah.
It's really, really great. And you know what's amazing? That they make it so easy and so worthwhile. You can donate money, right?
Yeah. You can donate money.
And what's the name of the page again?
I want to say
donate the money?
Patreon.
Patreon. So you go to RadioFreeBrooklyn.com and then it's /Patreon or something.
I think you just click donate money, and I think you can also click on specifically this show, or if the donation comes through during this show, it goes automatically to this show. You know,
oh, really?
Or you can click on Art Star Scene Radio and
cool.
Give them money.
Yeah, and like we're so cool, even like because the thing is also when we get donations, it's nice just to get the encouragement. So. Like, it could just be, like, a dollar a month, and then we'd be, like, so happy, right? Like, you and I would be, like, just personally happy.
Personally, yeah.
About that.
I mean, that would be, like,
right?
A nice, like, petting me, stroking my an ego stroke. Because it would just be
yeah,
a nice way of saying, like, hey, I like what you're doing.
This, and it's great to get the encouragement. And also, like, now Radio Free Brooklyn is really getting into, like, the whole free speech thing, and we're going to be doing some more political stuff, and I think it's a really important time to support radio.
Are we doing? I think we're going nonprofit, so I think individuals are going to go political.
No, but there's a new show that host Ori Givens is going to be doing that's going to be weekly with all the hosts, and anybody can sign up for it, I think.
I think, yeah, that is exciting.
We'll have more information about that soon, but, yeah, we are developing a new show based on what's going out in the world.
And the interesting part about that show is
it's an important time to support free speech. So you're in a great position to do more live shows because you're able to just improvise and you don't need like a whole like actor set up with a script and all that stuff. So you're in a great position for that. So what do you do for, you must have a day job then. We all have day jobs. What's your day job?
Right now, my day job is looking for a day job. I had a day job as a personal assistant that did not work out. Then I picked up some shifts as a waitress, but that was like all the way in the Bronx. So now I'm looking for something that's not, because I can't do that to my dog. So I'm looking for something right now.
Your dog is upset if
yeah.
she is yeah. alone all day?
She can't be. Like, she needs to go out. Like, she will not go in the house. I need to let her out. I have an alarm that goes off at strategic times mm-hmm. to remind me that
have
it's
time.
Have
you thought about getting a dog walker?
Yeah.
Which costs money, but it might be worth it. Have you thought about that?
Yeah. I mean, I've thought about it. I have, like, a key box for my friend to come in. I don't really like people in my home is part of the issue. Like, if there was a way for me to just make a dog door, I would do
really?
That.
Right. So that's interesting. Why don't you like to have people in your home?
Oh, I don't like people or trust them.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really? That's so unusual. No,
yeah,
I mean, that's
in New
so
York.
why is that particularly, do you think?
I've met some amazing human beings and I've met some really shitty ones. And unfortunately the shitty ones, make me put more and more of a guard up. Like I used to be the person who would just like leave my stuff and be like, no one's going to rob me. Like we're all cool. Like why would anybody be an asshole? I'm not an asshole. And then enough assholes did fucked up things to me and I'm like, oh, I guess there are assholes in this world. Like, my own friends have stolen from me.
But is that because of the way you were brought up in sort of a, I'm going to say, and I don't mean in any way judgmental, but an unconventional household? Do you think it's because you were brought up in an unconventional household? Is that where the trust issue comes in, or did you have a particular incident?
No, I've had multiple particular incidents. When I lived in this one apartment in Williamsburg, which is not necessarily a bad area, my things were taken on 6 occasions. Broken
really?
Into my
in
car.
Your apartment?
Not in my apartment. No, my actual home had not been burgled. My home that I lived in was burgled before I was ever born. But my apartment wasn't burgled. My car was broken into, 3 windows broken, which cost more than what they stole. My bike was taken not once but twice because I got it back. My friend's car was broken into, and my things were stolen out of her trunk as well. My own friends went into my purse and stole my phone and cigarettes. I was smoking at the time.
Your own friends.
My own friends, yeah.
And that's, you know, of course, we know that, how did you choose those friends?
They were part of the same improv community. They were part of an improv community. And improv is about trust. You're supposed to have each other's back, and you're supposed to trust.
And
it's a community.
Them, like, pretty well, or?
At this point, I mean, I know them as well as you know anybody in the improv community. And I'd known them for years. No, I'd known them for years. But I knew that they weren't necessarily good people. But like, it didn't occur to me that they would be mean to me, that they'd be bad to me.
Did you know that they would steal things from other people?
Not yet. I don't think I knew that yet. I knew that they were like, that one was like, I knew that they were like kind of crazy. But also any problems that you have with them, you're a racist for having. Is another thing that happened. Because the moment they stole my phone, I knew it was them. And my friend called me a racist for accusing them. I'm like, I'm telling you, I read their body language as they were leaving. It's them. No, you're just a racist.
Oh, wow.
Like, I read them. I read their guilt, and I read it as they were leaving, and that's how I knew. It had nothing to do with anything, and my sexist friend accused me of being a racist. I was right. I got the phone back from them. Confirmed.
And so you got it back. Did they ever admit it, or?
Yeah, they had to admit it. I mean, they didn't admit that they stole it, but I lied to them and said that there was security footage, so you might as well just give me my phone back now before it gets ugly. There was no security footage.
I'm not really,
I mean, there was security footage, but I didn't.
Yeah, it seems like that a little, that you let, so you're uncomfortable. Do you think that you're uncomfortable about having people in your home, partly because you're afraid they're going to steal from you, or also because you don't want them to see your home?
Both. I definitely don't want people to see the way I live. Like, I've told people that are interested in me, like, you cannot come in, and they're like, why? I'm like, because if you see the way I live, you will never love me.
So you don't feel good about the way you live.
No, not at all. I have way too much stuff, and it's all a mess.
So the word hoarder is the next word
that
comes to mind. Of
it's
course.
Been used.
And so are you a hoarder?
It's been used. Yeah, I mean, probably. I mean, I want to get rid of the things. I just need somebody to help me get rid of them. And it comes from, like, a family of. Like, my grandmother has everything she's ever had. And then my mother has everything she's ever had. And I've been told to keep everything you ever have. So it's, like, a behavior passed down.
Right.
But I do know
so
that
have
I...
have you ever been in therapy?
I've been in therapy, yeah. I mean, not just the kind of therapy where I lied to my therapist so I could get into a hospital, but also, like,
no,
therapy.
No, I mean, that's not... I wasn't even considering that therapy. That was just that was actually a really
bad
highly
therapist.
Developed childhood coping skill, if you ask me. So
thanks.
That's not therapy. That's got nothing to do with therapy. So, but have you been in therapy? Have you discussed any of this with a therapist? Or
yeah, but I don't think anybody like is. Qualified to do their job. Like, yeah, I've discussed this with therapists.
But you don't have a lot of trust in therapists.
No, especially no.
I'm not great at it either, frankly. Why do you think I'm making fun of them all? Why do you think I made a lifestyle out of
making fun
them,
of them? Because they are full of shit. It's complete bullshit. The reason they go into it is because their mommy and daddy tell them that they should do something that will make them money, and then they do it. You know, I don't think they care about people. Sometimes some do.
I have a really good therapist right now. I mean, I agree with you in the sense that like it is kind of a crapshoot, and a lot of therapists don't have the skill. I mean, you know, you can get a license. Having a therapy license doesn't necessarily mean, you know, it's very hard to find a good therapist, and it is a little bit of luck, and it's a little random. I understand that, but
yeah.
Therapy isn't going to help you because it's not something that you want to engage in, really.
No, I would love to find a therapist, but, like, finding a therapist is one of those things that triggers me to have a bad day because of, like, health insurance, who takes it, who's accepting new patients, like... All right, first you got to go to the website. Like, I've tried to find a therapist, but it's an impossible task.
I always tell people that want to go into therapy that, I mean, I don't know if this helps or not, but for anybody that's listening, if you want to go into therapy and you have no money or very little money, CMPS on West 10th Street, that's CMPS, they have a really good department with a sliding scale where they train therapists who have already a lot of, you know, training and education. So I mean, that's always a good, you know, and that you can do it for pretty little money, but that's always a good thing to know about anyway. So let's talk about you have a boyfriend, right?
No, I quit dating.
Oh, you mentioned a boyfriend, but that's a long time ago.
I don't know. Probably. If I mentioned a boyfriend.
Or a while ago. Oh, there was a boyfriend you mentioned, though. No?
What story?
Your boyfriend didn't like you acting like you were a lesbian.
Oh, yeah. No, that asshole and I are no longer together. He was an abusive lunatic at 6'7". He was 6'7".
Mm-hmm. So you're single. I'm surprised to hear that because I think that, you know, you seem like, you know, guys would be very, very interested in you. And I bet they are, right?
They like my boobs, but they do not like my brain because my brain sees through their lies.
Do people ask you out? Do you avoid getting involved? Or?
Yeah. What am I going to go on a date and then you're going to try to fuck me? Like, you're going to like this more than I am. Stop.
So you never meet anyone, like, say, and get to know them and then, I mean, and then think, like, this would be a nice person to spend time with, and I'm also attracted to them? Or is that a possibility for you? How do you feel about that as a concept?
Yeah, as a concept, it's great. And then they usually turn out to be, like, liars and sociopaths or sex addicts or some other bullshit that you can't even fucking predict at the beginning. I mean, I usually do. I see through it. I've broken up with people before we even dated. Like, this guy was like, do you want to date me? And I'm like, here's a list of reasons why I think that's a bad idea. He's like, really? Because you just met me, and that's why my ex-girlfriend broke up with me after years.
What do you think Facebook would say about your attitude or about this issue about not wanting to date men or date anybody? I mean, I'm assuming you're heterosexual or whatever.
No,
I mean,
I'm not.
I don't like to assume anything, but what would he say? Like, you don't give people a chance? What do you think he would say?
He agrees with me that men are terrible, but I think he thinks that I should try. And like, anytime I'm interested in somebody, he encourages me to, like, go for it. But then it ends horribly because it's never a good idea.
Well, I mean, it's sort of, you know, it's sort of like I, as somebody who is like thinking of what would be the best thing for you, I feel like, you know, you seem really shut down about it.
About the dating thing?
Yeah, you seem like you really shut down about it.
Yeah, because most guys...
And I guarantee you, there are some really horrible people, and, you know, I'm sure you've had some really awful experiences, but it now just feels like you're really closed off to it.
Well, because it's a terrible idea. I think relationships are a terrible idea. Like, I think, what, 50% end in divorce? And I'm shocked that 50% don't end in divorce. And I don't even know if that's still a true statistic.
Well, how about as an artist? Let's look at it from this point of view. Okay, because you're obviously a creative person, an artist, on, you know, however it manifests itself. in order to get new input and to grow, aren't relationships, I think, are important, no? Or
absolutely.
A good resource, right?
100%. I miss having, like, somebody that I could wake up next to and then create with. Like, I would love that.
Or just where you get input from them, or they make you do things that you wouldn't normally do, or they spark some feelings in you, or, you know, like, you're, like, I mean, you know, what I would love to see is for you to find somebody maybe that was a really decent person and really trustworthy, and then that would help you trust people more and, you know, be more open. And
right.
be able to get more out of the other humans.
Yeah, but that person doesn't exist is the problem.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to get into this. I mean, there is no point in us, like, I mean, that's ridiculous. Do you really mean that? I mean, do you really mean that?
What, that person doesn't exist?
Because it's a funny thing to hear, I'll say that, but do you really mean it?
Yeah, that person doesn't exist?
That there isn't, well, no one's 100% trustworthy, but you know what I consider trustworthy? I consider trustworthy people who, somebody who is well-intentioned and will disappoint you sometimes, because we are all disappointing, and that, but that you kind of know, like, where their shortcomings are, and you know that, like, they're a little, you know, that's not like that, you can tell that it's not, they're disappointing, but it's not like they're trying to hurt you.
Yeah, that's all fine. I just hate lying sociopaths.
So what kind of people, who have you been hanging out with?
Shitty people. Really shitty people.
And why is that? You know it. You know it.
I don't. That's why I quit, because I can't fix it. I don't know what about me is a magnet to these people or attracted to these people, but I realize that it's not going to stop until I just quit. Like, even if you think they're not a piece of shit, they turn out to be a piece of shit. Like, even just recently, there was this guy that I was talking to, and his last text message to me was how cuddly I am. And he was asking me things like, do I excite you? And like, oh, I wish we could spend this, you know, snow day together. The very next day, he blocked me on social media and like my phone number. Now, we didn't have a fight. I didn't do anything to upset him, but this was his plan the whole time. Like, that's just what he does to women. And
well, how did you know that?
Because I realized that he did have like a Twitter. After this happened, I was like, wait, because he was like, oh, I'm not on social media. I'm only on like Instagram. All right, whatever. Like, I'm not calling you a liar so far. And like, he endeared himself to me. Like, at first he was like, I was like, oh, just get me to go to the gym. And like, he was like, no, I wouldn't do that unless we were dating. And then a little while later, he's like, hey, go to the gym today. And I'm like, oh, okay. And he had like me going to the gym and like doing things to better my life. So that like made me trust him more. But yeah, he turned out to just be he was a scumbag. There's not, no good C. He's a scumbag. Like, he blocked me.
But I mean, but he actually did get you to do something positive for yourself, even though he turned out to be an ass. Like, I mean, I'm
but it didn't last.
Anybody who doesn't treat you properly, so I'm not going to do that. But, you know, I'm just saying that other people help us open us up to new experiences. So do you have your female friends? Like, you have a great relationship with Faceboy, I think, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
So you have this one person that you trust for sure, Faceboy, right?
I didn't say I trust him. No, I'm just kidding.
You don't trust Faceboy?
No, I do. I'm just kidding. Even though I'm pretty sure, Faceboy, are you listening? I know you lied about that phone that day.
Faceboy, you're a scumbag.
Oh, no, he's not. Be nice.
No. I just said that because I know that's how, I mean, that's the Art Star Scene Radio way, isn't it?
What?
To, like, you know, say offhand comments that are really rude.
Yeah, we like to be, we're definitely,
no,
we love to call each other
rude.
Out.
So, besides Facebook, do you have any women friends? that you trust?
I don't have as many female friends.
Do you have other friends besides Faceboy that you trust?
I mean, I do. I mean, like, I don't think my friend Hannah's listening. She can be like, why don't you mention me? I do have some female friends, but not really.
We're not going to name any names. Because really, the only person I know that you know is Faceboy and other people at the radio station. But I know you're friends with Faceboy. That's my only frame of reference. So are there other people that you spend time with that you truly trust or trust enough to, like, I mean, no one's truly trustworthy, but trust that know you believe in them, that they're decent people. Are there other people in your life like that?
I don't know. I believe some people, like, won't steal from me. I know, like, my bandmate, for example, I feel comfortable allowing him into my home, and I don't believe that he would ever even think to steal from me. I think he would lie to me? Yes, but our relationship is set up in a way where it doesn't really matter if he's lying to me. Because I don't depend on him for.
So lying is a big thing for you.
Huge.
When you say you don't trust people, it seems like the lying is a big part
of
that.
It's honestly my only rule. Like, I don't care what you do in a relationship, just never lie to me.
Why is lying so important? Is that from the time you spent in the hospital because you got yourself in the hospital through lying? Or was lying part of your growing up in any other way? Or what was it, do you think?
It's a bunch of things. My relationship to honesty was shaped as a child. My mother taught me to never lie. And she said, like, just never lie. Like, I understood that I grew up in a home where nobody was ever lying about anything. That wasn't true. I was being lied to. But it doesn't matter because I was still an honest person. There are things that I've lied about in my life. Like, I can tell you the lies and I remember them because I don't really lie. So a lot of it comes from, like, just me not being a liar as a child. Except for when I was, and it was like, oh, that's terrible. Like, don't do that. And I realized, like, it's just not worth it to lie. Like, I'm comfortable enough with who I am that, like, if you reject me for who I am, okay, that's fine. But if you reject me for some, like, lie, well, that's stupid on my part. So I'd rather just, like, be real and be myself. Can't I trust other people to lie to me? Like, my only relationship, because I know everybody, like, I grew up in Greece, in Mykonos, Greece. Every single married person I know is fucking someone else. Like, that's what I know of people. I know that everybody fucks everything all the time. And that, like, men are just the biggest balls of fucking semen. Like, I get it. So when somebody tells me that they're not attracted to somebody that I also find attractive, I'm like, you're a fucking liar. Why can't you just admit that you're attracted? What else are you hiding?
So you saw a lot of screwing around when you were in Mykonos.
Oh my God, yes. I saw, like, literally a blowjob contest that was just impromptu in the middle of the streets because some girls from, like, Scores or Hustler Club were, like, in town. I saw a lot of sex. I saw a lot of, like, infidelity. And it wasn't infidelity. It just was. It just is the way it is.
A cultural thing too, right?
Yeah, that they're honest about it. It is a cultural thing that they are honest about it rather than here where they are fucking liars about it.
Well, I think fidelity is a discipline. I don't think it's natural. You make choices, but like if I said to my husband, you know, do you ever want to sleep with somebody else? And he said no, I would say you're lying.
Right.
Now, would he ever sleep with somebody else? I really don't think so. I mean, there's never any guarantee, but I don't ever feel like he would, or for real. I mean, that's a lie, too. Of course, I feel occasionally like he would. But there's a really big difference between actions and lies. So we only have a few minutes. We have, like, 8 minutes left or something. I want to get
six-ish.
To talk about your dad, your relationship with your dad.
What about it?
I was also asking the time.
Oh, six-ish, six-ish. I said six.
What's the time? I guess because I have this clock.
2:54. 2:55 on the dot now.
55 on the dot.
5 minutes.
Okay, so because I'm looking at this really big clock in Times Square, and it's actually because I have this incredible, like, this office that I'm in. All you people listening should come to the Spring Break Art Fair because my office is in an office that whoever had this office for real and worked in it for real must have been making $500,000 a year. Like, it's a privilege just to be able to actually be in this room. So, but it's a very short time. It'll all be over on Monday evening. But anyway, so tell me a little bit, like, what was your relationship with your dad like? Did you see him a lot? Or where did he live? And you live, well, we kind of got a feeling, where did he live in the same state? Did he live nearby? What was that like?
I don't remember how old I was when he moved to Florida, but up until then, he lived in New York. And I think he lived in, like, Mount Vernon or whatever was close to the Bronx at the mm-hmm. time. So I saw him on the weekends when I visited my grandmother and my grandfather and like my entire father's side of the family. And he was mm-hmm. always fun. Like he always got to do the fun stuff, which apparently mm-hmm. made my mother mad and jealous because he got to be the fun guy
sure.
while she had to be like the boring one.
She had to be the disciplinarian.
Yeah. Right. So, but like, I love arcades, classic arcades, because he would take me to this Nathan's that had, like, an arcade in it. And to the, like, mm-hmm. my goal is to one day own, to have in my home an arcade just because of that part of my childhood. Mm-hmm. He also took me to, like, mm-hmm. fun things like parks
so
and
he,
carnivals.
You have some really fun, you know, I mean, and you're still in touch with him, right?
Well, in a weird way, he still contacts me, but no, because he has passed.
Oh, he passed away.
Yeah, in 2012.
That's not so long ago.
No.
So were you close to him throughout your life then?
No, we had, like, a weird relationship because I was mad at him for, like, leaving me.
Mm-hmm.
And I never really got over it. But when we hung out, things were cool. And he actually had plans to see me, like, the month he passed or, like, a month after he passed. Like, we were going to mm-hmm. see each other that August or September. I forget when exactly.
So would years go by where you didn't see him?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, long, long periods. Was that upsetting?
Yeah, like, I mean, it made me mad
feel
at
like,
him.
Oh, he didn't, I mean, that certainly seems, like, ripe for trust issues with men. I don't know. I don't think you need a therapist to tell you that.
No, he did not help. My mother and my grandmother hate men and are fag hags. So, yeah, no, I am not dead. I thought that I was going to break the curse, but I am destined to wind up with my gay best friend.
Well, I think you have enormous... I think you're holding yourself back. I'm just going to say it because we're going to have to go soon. And if you ever want to, like, you know... I mean, I think you should think about... You know, you're holding yourself back.
I'm not. No, show me somebody who's not a piece of shit.
Well, if you really feel that way, then...
Like, I honestly, I've not met somebody who's not a piece of shit and is interested in
me. What?
I have not met somebody who is not a piece of shit and interested in me. They just do... that. Those two things, that doesn't add up. That doesn't meet on the Venn diagram.
I mean, even with men, I mean, just it seems like you've been trained to not trust people and stuff like that. And I, you know, just think that, you know, the training has been very powerful. But what time? We have like 2 minutes left because we're going to have to wrap this up.
Closer to like one. It's like 2:58 and 59 seconds.
Oh, okay. Because I want to tell people I'm going to be on TV tomorrow. I'm going to be on the Rosanna Scotto show in the 9 o'clock hour. And I'm going to be on... To tell the truth, and I'm playing, I'm going to be one of the artists that isn't the real artist, and Cindy, oh my God, why am I blanking on that? Cindy Adams is going to be guessing who the real artist that makes art out of dead people's ashes is. It's
oh
not
God.
Me, but they will be there. So
now
I want to tell
knows.
People that. I want to tell people to listen to Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. It's every Thursday, live, 2 to 3. You can also go to iTunes or Audio Boom and listen to the archives. And I want you guys to, Catherine, you got to hear Catherine's show. What time is your show, Catherine?
Saturday, 7 p.m. right here on Radio Free Brooklyn.